What a lovely way to begin the year, having this choir and the musicians and all of you gathered together on this first day of January. And today I want to think about a beautiful word that's at the heart of our Catholic faith. It's the word salvation. And I'm kind of doing a little bit of a play on words, that if you look at the first part of this word, S-A-L-V-E, salve, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute, Jesus is our salvation. And on this day, when we celebrate Mary, the Mother of God, we'll see the beautiful connection between Our Lady and our Savior to bring about our salvation. But let's begin in Galatians. For here St. Paul, in an economy of words, does something beautiful. He summarizes the whole of what we call salvation history. And let me read the key part of this text again. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. Did you hear how that started? St. Paul says that when the fullness of time had come. Well, this implies something. This implies the time before the fullness. And what St. Paul is saying here is he's referring to the whole of the Hebrew Bible. From Genesis, the first book of the Hebrew Scriptures, to Malachi, the 43rd book of the Hebrew Scriptures. And now he's able to see and to understand in his reading of what we call the Old Testament, how in the fullness of time, in God's plan, our Savior has come into the world. And notice that Paul does something very important. This is the only time in St. Paul that he refers to Our Lady. And here he speaks about how Jesus was sent. This speaks of his divinity, that he was sent from the Father to this world. But he was born of a woman. This celebrates his humanity. And what we, of course, always understand in our Catholic faith is that Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man. And that when we celebrate Mary, the Mother of God, we are affirming that through Our Lady, God came into our world. But there's something very important in this text that we can sometimes miss. St. Paul says that Jesus, was born under the law in order to redeem those who were under the law. What in the world does that mean? And I've pondered this text for many years thinking, what is Paul getting at here? And as has so often been the case, people smarter than I have come up with the answer. And what I want to share with you now is what Dr. Peter Kreeft, who is a brilliant theologian and philosopher in the Catholic Church today, says about this verse. He says, we need to think about the law this way. The law is the bad news. The law diagnoses our condition. The law is the X-ray. And I thought, wow, isn't that helpful to think about the law in that terms, that it shows us the condition of our soul. But Dr. Kreeft goes on to say, this accurate X-ray is for a very important and beautiful reason, that it may lead us to Jesus Christ. Because if we have something that needs to be healed, thankfully we have a remedy for that illness, and the remedy is a person. Jesus Christ. He is our salvation. Now think of this word, salve. What is a salve? Salve is an ointment that you might put on a burn, or I know I find at this time of the year my hands get cracked and dry because I do so many dishes, that I put on salve on my hands in order to help to make them soft again. They help to bring healing to my cracked fingers. And who is Jesus? He is our salve. He is our salvation. He is the one through whom we are indeed healed. And what St. Paul wants us to see and to understand is that because we are in Christ, we are no longer just looking at the X-ray. No, because we are in Christ, we have this opportunity to now look to the one who is the remedy for our sin. And St. Paul wants to say, therefore, we need to celebrate this. We are now children. children of our Father. And we can cry in our heart that God is our Papa. He is Dad. He is the one to whom we can draw ever closer. And at the very heart of today's reading is this understanding that God is the God who is always giving us his love, giving us his salvation. The Christmas baby is the gift that keeps on giving. Jesus never, never stops giving his love, giving his heart, giving his healing to us. Now, when we think about this, we want to celebrate the beautiful fact that apart from Our Lady, our Savior would not have been born. And so we celebrate the fact that Mary today is not the mother of the human Jesus, but she is the mother of God. Why is that so important? Because if we look at the heart of our problem, the heart of our problem has to do with our soul. We are soul sick. The soul is that dimension of you, that dimension of me that is eternal. When we die, our soul will leave our body. And then in purgatory, our soul will be made perfect. And it will await the second coming when our perfected soul will be joined to an eternal resurrected body. Is that not good news? That is fantastic news. But we are soul sick. And only an eternal God can ultimately heal our soul-sick heart. And that's why on this day we celebrate that Mary is the mother of God, because in Jesus he comes to us. And what is the character of this beautiful God whom we celebrate today? What do we mean when we say that Mary is the mother of God? What kind of God? Well, here we turn to our first reading from the book of Numbers. Now remember this, where is Numbers found? It is the fourth book of the Pentateuch, the five books of Moses, also known as the Law. What did I say a minute ago about the Law, quoting Dr. Kreeft? The Law is the X-ray. The Law is, so to speak, the bad news. But what kind of character does the God who give us the bad news have in relation to us? Listen to these words. This is the first blessing given by God to Aaron, who is the priest, that Aaron in turn is to give to the people. So this is the very first thing that Aaron the priest is to say to the people of God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now think about this. The one who gives us the X-ray is our loving Father. The one who extends to us his news is not a harsh critic, ready to condemn us, ready to write us off, ready to say, I'm sorry, your case is terminal, there is no cure, there is no hope. No, he is the Father who truly loves us. He is the Father who sees our illness and is smiling upon us because he wants to heal us. He is the Father who heals us through the loving intervention of his Son by the Holy Spirit, who is extending his healing presence through all time and into eternity. Again, I want to quote Dr. Kreeft. That this is the faith that God invites us to have when we hear and pray this prayer. The faith in God's smile, the faith in God's love and goodwill and benevolence and blessing and gift and grace. Grace means gift, a gift that we do not deserve. Grace means unmerited favor. All the saints say that God's grace is always greater than we can imagine and greater than all our sins. Our sins are much greater than we think, but God's grace is infinitely greater than we think. And that's exactly what we read in Numbers. Here is the smiling face of the Father extended to us, his children. And as we celebrate this today, we look to Our Lady, because at the very heart of Mary being without sin, it means this: she knew that the Father smiled on her. Amidst everything that she experienced in life, she knew the blessing of the Father. She knew that through those things, like being sent into Egypt because they had to escape Herod, through all the things that they would have experienced during the years of our Lord's, what we call his private years, Mary understood the reality of God at work in and through her. And so I want to conclude my homily today by thinking about one particular phrase from today's gospel. St. Luke says of Our Lady that she treasured and pondered these things in her heart. She treasured and she pondered these things in her heart. What does it mean to treasure and ponder? It means more than just thinking about and reflecting on the Christmas story and saying, well, that's good, we heard that again, now let's get on with the rest of our life. No, it's to treasure the meaning of the events of these days and to think about how this story does indeed touch with your story and my story and help to bring about the realization of our salvation. It is to understand that your life and my life is part of a divine gift, that there is a God who is providential. He is all wise. He is all loving. It means to think about God in the events of our daily lives, trying to discern what his will is for us, seeking to grow in obeying him, and trying to trust him, especially when we do not understand the things that are happening to us. Even when things look dark rather than light, even when they are experiencing and we are experiencing sufferings rather than joy, nothing happens outside of God's plan. Now, here's an important thing, and again, Our Lady understood this. She wasn't responsible for this plan, because she wasn't God, nor are you, nor am I, thanks be to God. But you and I are responsible for our choices, because we are human beings to whom God has given free will. And when it says of Our Lady that she treasured and she pondered, she understood the interrelationship between the unfolding of God's plan and her story and her life. And as you well know, to learn to live this way, to treasure, to ponder, requires patience. Wouldn't it be true that most of the important things in life take patience? They take time to understand? For instance, think about what for most people are the three most important choices they will ever make. It takes patience to know what God to believe in. It takes patience to discern perhaps the person that you're going to marry, and then if you are married, man, does it take patience to stay married to that person. And then for younger people, discerning a vocation, discerning a way forward, it can often take patience in order to discern the career that they are to undertake. But then, of course, where patience is most needed is with people. You can't understand other people. You can't understand yourself without patience. Patience and this way of pondering is not like a math problem or technology. It's not a question of formulas, of machines, where you can't get an instant answer. In all the most important areas of life, truth comes gradually. And you maybe know that in your own life. Maybe even in knowing yourself, saying, man, it's taking me a long time to know me. That's okay. You have eternity for this project. For you see, patience is like the tide. Patience is like the sunrise. It doesn't come instantly. We can't just press a key or flip a switch. In 2023, may we follow the lead of Mary and spend more time pondering. And we can all do this. You don't have to be a genius, you don't have to be an intellectual, you don't have to be a monk or a mystic. You just have to care about finding the truth, about understanding what life is really for. St. Luke says that Mary pondered in her heart, not in her head. You see, our intuitive heart is profounder than our rational head, even if it's not as clear. And it's your heart and its love of truth that moves the head to then look deeper. May you desire this year to be passionate. May you desire this year to be honest. May you desire this year to be persistent in desiring to grow in love and in truth. May you desire this year to say, "Yes, Papa, your face is shining upon me, and I am so thankful for that. I am so thankful that I can look to Mary, my mother, and I can learn to live with a Marian perspective on life." And as we do this, and as we see the Father's smiling face, may this lead evermore to the healing of our souls, for this is our salvation.